Good evening. And also good evening to those who watch us online. Please open your Bible to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. It's on your Bible, page 1117. As we go through the Lord's Prayer, last week we talked about your daily bread, which is for your body. But today, we will talk about your daily forgiveness, which is for your soul, You need this daily forgiveness from the Lord. And more important, you also need to learn how to forgive people. It is a challenge for everybody. That's why you need this petition. So here is the word of God in Matthew chapter 6, starts from verse 9. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let's also read the Heidelberg Catechism, which is in your outline. Heidelberg Catechism, question 126. What is the fifth petition? Answer, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. That is, for the sake of Christ's blood, do not impute to us, wretched sinners, any of our transgressions, nor the evil which still clings to us, as we also find this evidence of thy grace in us, that we are fully determined wholeheartedly to forgive our neighbor. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for this day, and you teach us how to forgive. And we also give thanks, you give us this precious forgiveness every day, because as a sinner, we indeed need your forgiveness every day. Please delight our heart, let us know and treasure your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A poem said, to err is human, but to forgive is divine. Well, this poem implies to forgive is so difficult, but to sin against each other or to offense to each other is so easy. That's why you need this this petition. In World War II, Simon Wiesenthal, he was imprisoned in a Nazi concentration camp in Poland. From there, he was sent to clean up a hospital for wounded German soldiers. When he arrived, Wiesenthal was ordered to follow one of the nurses to a patient's room. There he encountered a dying Nazi, a young SS officer, whose badly burned body was wrapped entirely in bandages. The man was barely able to speak, yet he wanted to confess his sins before he died. In particular, he wanted to confess them to a Jew. The nurse began to count his crimes. On one occasion, he had set fire to a building crammed with hundreds of Jews. When one family tried to escape, he slaughtered them in the street. Tormented by the memory of their anguished faces, he longed to beg forgiveness from a Jew before he died. Wiesenthal listened patiently to the man's story. He recognized that the Nazis' repentance was genuine, and yet he was horrified by what the man had done. When the confession was finished, Wiesenthal got up without a word, and left the room, unable to offer forgiveness. You see how hard it is to forgive, and how precious it is to be forgiven. When your sins are forgiven by your Heavenly Father, do you just take it for granted? Are you willing to forgive people who offend you? It is difficult. That's why you need this petition. Our text today reminds you that as debtors to God, you need His forgiveness daily. And Jesus Christ is the peacemaker who forgives you and enables you to forgive others. As we look into the text, first, as a sinner against God, you are in debt to Him. You are in debt to Him. The word debt reminds you that you are responsible for your sins. A person who has debts owns those debts. It's unpaid to God. You are responsible for it. A sermon by Jonathan Edwards titled, "Men Naturally Are God's Enemies." Edwards explored the reason why you are hostile toward God. First and foremost, God is holy and you are not. People who are not holy do not appreciate a standard that reveals their unrighteousness. If God were not so holy and you were not so sinful, perhaps you could get along. But God's perfect holiness and your sinfulness combine to create a gap you cannot close. It can be closed only by Jesus, who offers forgiveness for your sin. Edwards goes on, second, God is omnipotent because God sees and knows all. You cannot hide from Him. You can hide from the gaze of humans in your private sin, but there is no way to avoid the gaze of God. In Psalm 139, David said, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there." Likewise, Jesus said, "You will have to give account for every idle word you speak." You can imagine standing before the bar of God's justice and hearing a recording of every offensive thing you have ever said. You don't want that to happen. You want your sin to be covered long before that moment. There are so many kinds of sins that you have to repent each day. There are so many that you can't even remember them. Often, when you bow your knees in the evening, you have to remind yourself what sins you have committed that day, because so many have already been erased from your consciousness. There are sins every minute, sins of not loving God above all, sins of not loving your neighbor as yourself, thoughts that are selfish, not doing things you ought to be doing, emotional sins, sins of omission, sins of commission, sins of carelessness, sins that are unconscious, sins of self-flattery, sins of envy, sins of hate, hidden sins, and so on and so forth. By nature, you are made up of sin. As a sinner against God, you are in debt to Him. Secondly, God forgives you in Christ unconditionally. Unconditionally. In Heidelberg Catechism, "For the sake of Christ's blood, do not impute to us, wretched sinners, any of our transgressions, nor the evil which still clings to us." That's your prayer in this petition. You cry out for God's forgiveness. God forgives you, but God doesn't forget because He doesn't change. God is immutable. Jonathan Edwards pointed out that God's immutability means that not only he has been absolutely holy from everlasting to everlasting, there's no hope that he will ever stop being holy. God's holiness is an immutable holiness. He will never cease to be anything other than perfect holy. And yet, God promised through Jeremiah that I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more, in Jeremiah 31:34. You sometimes think this kind of statement means God forgives and forgets, and that once he forgiven you, he never recalls that you once sinned. That's not what the passage means at all. Then what does that mean? R.C. Sproul said that God knows every sin you have ever committed and every sin of yours he's ever forgiven. And he will always have that knowledge because his knowledge is immutable. When the Bible speaks of God forgetting your sins, it means that he remembers them against you no more. Though he's fully aware of your transgressions, he doesn't remind you. He doesn't call them to mind. He doesn't hold them against you. That's the essence of forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, you need to imitate that in this world. When you say to someone, "I forgive you," you are making a commitment to that person never to bring it up again. So children, if your own bedroom is messed up by your little brother or your little sister, are you willing to forgive them? Are you willing to forgive them? Yes, you need to learn that because you are forgiven by your Heavenly Father. You need to learn to forgive them. God forgives you in Christ unconditionally, because you could not afford it. You could not earn your salvation. You could not gain God's favor as a sinner. Only Jesus Christ, who perfectly obeyed the word of God in all his life, and he died for your sins on the cross. He is your salvation. For the sake of Christ's blood, you are saved. God forgives you in Christ unconditionally. Thirdly, even though you should repent and seek forgiveness from God daily, you should repent and seek forgiveness from God daily. In 1 John chapter 1, 8-9, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So you are encouraged to confess your sin and deal with your sin. Even though you are in Christ, you still say, do, and think things that are corrupt and offensive to God. In a relational sense, you must continually seek restoration and forgiveness. You might say something like that. Since my conscience doesn't trouble me, I don't need to repent. Well, the standard of Christian living is not based on your conscience. Especially today, living in a modern world today, people's conscience is not built on the word of God anymore. And the standard, the moral standard of this world is worse and worse. People don't like the guilt feeling. They just want to be forgiven by God. It is great to have a forgiving God, but they just ignore their sin. It is reported that a modernist minister once said to a nominal member of his church, "Don't you know that God forgives sins?" And the church member replied, "Yes, of course. Isn't that what God is for?" That's why they go to church. They ignore their indebtedness to God. They ignore their sin. They just want a forgiving God. That's not the Bible said. J.I. Williamson said, but the all-important fact is that real guilt may exist even though the conscience may be untroubled. After all, the conscience itself is not the final standard. The law of God is. And until the requirements of that law are met, no man is free from guilt, even though he may feel free from guilt. Do you see how basically and how urgently you need to repent and to seek forgiveness from God daily? You need daily bread that you might live. You need daily forgiveness that you might not die. Daily bread is for your physical body. Daily forgiveness is for your soul. Puritan Thomas Watson urged you to care about your soul more than your body. He said, "The soul is an immaterial substance. It is a heavenly spark, lighted by the breath of God. It is more refined and a spiritual part of man. It is of an angelic nature. It never expires. Therefore, we make but one petition for the body, but two petitions for the soul." He means that our daily bread is one petition for your body, but forgive our debts and deliver us from evil are two petitions for your soul. Watson goes on, "If you lose everything, remember to keep your soul. If you lose your health, you may recover it again. If you lose your estate, you may make it up again. But if you lose your soul, the loss is irreparable. Daily bread may satisfy your appetite, your body, but the forgiveness of sin satisfies your conscience, your soul. So for your soul's benefit, for your eternal benefit, you should repent and seek forgiveness from God every day. Fourthly, God enables you to forgive your neighbor. God enables you to forgive your neighbor. The Lord's Prayer doesn't stop with "forgive us our debts." You also pray "as we forgive our debtors." Heidelberg Catechism said, "We also find this evidence of thy grace in us, that we are fully determined wholeheartedly to forgive our neighbors." If you experience God's grace in your life, you will also forgive your neighbor. Then the question is, what exactly is forgiveness? Kevin DeYoung said, "Forgiveness involves canceling a debt or remitting a payment. Forgiveness doesn't mean the consequences of your actions will always be removed. For example, the thief on the cross didn't get to live just because he was forgiven. Nor does it mean you can't be discerning in your judgments about others. Forgiveness is not a feeling, but a decision to let go of the debt owing you. Forgiveness means you say no to revenge, trusting that God is the one to avenge. Forgiveness means your sins are no longer counted against you, and you no longer count the sins of those who have hurt you. So forgiveness is a decision, it's not a feeling. In Matthew chapter 6, 14, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." It doesn't mean you will lose your salvation if you don't forgive. It means you never truly experienced God's forgiveness. For example, if your mortgage company calls you up tomorrow and tells you your mortgage is canceled, If you really believe this good news, if you know it, taste it, experience it, and will you berate your friend after supper when he sticks you with the tip? Not a chance. You have known too much grace to be so graceless. But if you don't forgive your debtor, you will hold internal bitterness in a practical way. The unresolved bitterness will bite you and even will kill you. There was a study about the 10 top causes of death in North America today. Heart attack and cancer were numbers 2 and 3. What's the number one? The number one was unresolved bitterness. Unbelievable. You can really kill yourself literally by not forgiving from your heart, because this bitterness is killing you day by day. It's very difficult. You know this kind of feeling and taste if you don't forgive. Must you forgive everything? Yes, everything. How many times? That's the question Peter asked Jesus. Peter said, 7. Jesus said, 70 times 7. In other words, no end to it. Why? Because there is no end to God's forgiveness to repentant sinners. You may forgive those who have offended you without their repentance. And yet you are not to be vindictive or vengeful in your attitude. However, if someone sins against you and you go to see that person and to try to bring about reconciliation, but he or she refuses to repent, there's a process that you are to follow. You are to take another person with you to see the offending person, then, if necessary, appeal to the church. You might ask, since I forgave him, why I have to do that? Because you love him and you love your church. It is for the good of him and for the good of your church. It also needs wisdom. Different issues need a different approach. If you did forgive, there's no hate but love in your heart. You see the difference. You still can find him, but you don't hate him or her anymore. But the issue there needs to be resolved, which is for his good, for her good, even for the good, for the health of the church, for the health of the whole society. So the word of God is your guideline. The word of God is your guideline. Lastly, Jesus Christ is the peacemaker who forgives you and enables you to forgive. Jesus Christ is the peacemaker who forgives you and enables you to forgive. In Romans chapter 5, 10 to 11, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Jesus Christ is the one who loves you and forgives you unconditionally. He died for you not because of your good work. He died for you because you are the children of God. Jesus cleans your sins and makes you holy before God. He gives you a new life. You won't hate your enemy anymore because Jesus don't hate his enemy. You will forgive your enemy because Jesus forgives you from your past to your future. It is difficult to forgive, and yet it is possible in Christ. Mission founder Richard Wurmbrand once met a man who had experienced the divine release that comes through forgiveness. Wormbrand was in a communist prison in Romania at the time, lying in a prison cell reserved for those who were dying. In the court, on his right was a pastor who had been beaten so badly that he was about to die. On his left was the very man who had beaten him, a communist who was later betrayed and tortured by his comrades. One night, the communist awakened in the middle of a nightmare and cried out, "Please, Pastor, say a prayer for me. I have committed such crimes, I cannot die." The pastor feebly sat up and called for another prisoner to help. Slowly, he stumbled past Wormbrand's cot and sat at the bedside of his enemy. As he watched, Wormbrand saw the pastor began to caress the hair of the man who had tortured him. Then he spoke these amazing words, "I have forgiven you with all my heart, and I love you. If I, who am only a sinner, can love and forgive you, more so can Jesus, who is the Son of God and who is love incarnate. Return to him. He longs for you much more than you long for him. He wishes to forgive you much more than you wish to be forgiven. You just repent." There, in the prison cell, the communist began to confess all his murders and tortures. When he had finished, the two men prayed together, embraced, and then returned to their beds, where each died that very night. The pastor had learned how to forgive from Jesus, who first forgave his own death, and then Jesus taught him to forgive his debtors. He can forgive not because he is a pastor, but because of Jesus Christ. So today, you probably won't experience the life in prison, but if you don't forgive, you really put yourself into a prison of unforgiveness. And in this prison, there's temptation of anger and hate. You tortured yourself in it. You need Jesus Christ. You need his forgiveness. And you need to learn how to forgive. Jesus Christ is the peacemaker. You are not. You need to abide in Jesus. So as debtors to God, you need his forgiveness daily. And Jesus Christ is the peacemaker who forgives you and enables you to forgive others. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for your word. Oftentimes we are so selfish, we don't know how to forgive. Oftentimes we think we are the innocent, we are offended, we have the right to hold this bitterness. But Father, forgive us and let us know how to forgive people we don't like, how to forgive people who offend us. But Father, we don't have this kindness. We need your word. We need the life of Jesus. Please help us and let us abide in Christ. Let us know how precious we are forgiven and how important we need to forgive. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Let's respond and sing Psalm 130a. If the Lord mark iniquities, who could stand? My soul waits for the Lord. I hope in his word. Please stand and sing Psalm 130a.